start again. Now Bell. Fortier through the middle. Here's McDougall. Absolutely magnificent. Coming in to a total jamboree for Aberdeen. Well, you just can't expect to see goals any better than that.
Hello and welcome to the latest By the Minute Aberdeen podcast. I'm Richard Hay and joining me tonight is Old Faithful Martin Clunas. How are you, Martin?
I'm doing great, Richard. It's great to be back again.
It's great to have you back and welcome back to Christy Keenan. Christy, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Richard. Nice to be invited back and nice to catch you again, Martin, as well.
So tonight we'll be looking back at the reverse away to Hamilton last midweek, the home win in the Cup quarter-final against Partick Thistle, one eye on the draw for the semi-final as well, and then, well, will it be 7-2 again against Motherwell next Saturday? So firstly to the match at Hamilton, a 1-0 defeat in a game in which we largely dominated, certainly on corner kicks, without question, and on efforts on goal. The goal that we did lose, Martin, every single goal we've lost this calendar year, which admittedly has only been four of them, they've all been from a set piece. Problem?
I'll be honest, until you mentioned that, I wouldn't have actually realised that they were all from set pieces. I don't think it's a huge... I mean, there is only four goals, so I don't think it's a huge problem. It's certainly something that perhaps maybe needs looked at. No, I think we're going to obviously come on to Ash Taylor in a minute, so I'm not going to apportion any too much blame on him. It kind of goes to show that we're perhaps not being carved open by teams, but being the second best team in the country, you know, teams aren't really lining up that way to kind of try and pass through us. If there was a by-the-minute Partick or a by-the-minute, you know, St Johnston, they'd probably be saying, oh, the best way to get to Aberdeen is by set pieces because, you know, they're quite strong in the middle of the park and they're hard to get through. So I think it just comes from the fact that the teams have realised that this is that's their best kind of opportunity. So we do need strengthening perhaps at the centre of defence, and that's maybe, you know, where it's going to come from.
Christy Martin doesn't think it's a huge problem, but I'm willing to bet that Derek McInnes would. I would think they would spend a lot of the time during the week working on defending set pieces as well, so it must be frustrating him.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with Martin in that I don't think it's a problem. I think it's actually indicative of the fact that we're defending well in general. The reality is, if all four goals that we've conceded this year have come from set pieces, that means we've only conceded four goals this year, which is a good statistic. So, you know, it could be spun either way, but I wouldn't be overly concerned by it. At the same time, I know Derek McInnes is a perfectionist. I know he will be frustrated. He is frustrated losing goals from, well, losing any goals, obviously, but losing any goals from set pieces. But the reality is, yeah, as Martin mentioned, when teams play us, they realise that's probably their best route to goal. They lump it in, get as many bodies in the box as possible. Now, that doesn't excuse Ash Taylor from failing to defend the goal against Celtic and then the goal against Hamilton adequately. Like, he should have done better. And then even Thistle in injury time Sunday almost equalised from out of nowhere. So teams have identified it as a weak spot, but I certainly wouldn't be overly concerned by it. We'll just keep on doing what we're doing, training hard, trying to work on defending set pieces on the training ground, and I think we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, Ash Taylor. Martin, again, you say you don't want to push in too much blame, but as I put out in the feed during the course of the match, if he's beaten by pace or by trickery by a centre forward, you can kind of accept that. I mean, look at the guy. He's a big physical unit. You can beat him for pace, you can beat him on the ground. However, you really don't expect him to be beaten in a physical battle in his own box for a long ball. And the other thing that really worried me about that goal was how far the ball dropped down. I mean, it wasn't, as a defender, surely you want to be taking those things at the highest possible apex and getting it away from your box as soon as possible.
Well, I said I don't want to apportion too much of the blame to him. The simple fact is that he was, you know, he's a big unit, and there's really very little excuse for centre-halves being beaten in a physical battle. I mean, there is obviously, you know, certain forward players who are, shall we use the term, beasts, or, you know, physical monsters who can win those type of battles. Before this, I thought I'll look up Ash Taylor and see, kind of, you know, his physical, his stats and stuff like that. And Wikipedia's got him down as being 6'8". That surely can't be right. The part of the thing as well is, you know, that ball should have been attacked before it even got as far as Taylor, which is the disappointing thing. It was his fault. He was beaten by a smaller man, and then he dilly-dallied. He didn't come and try and claim the ball or go for a tackle. He just sort of surrendered, I suppose, a little bit. Just, you know, lack of bravery, or I don't know. Just a defender like the size of him shouldn't be getting beaten in any sort of physical battles, really. Not when you look at the type of players that Hamilton have got, where there's none of them that are, you would say, are like hugely physically imposing. That was what was more disappointing for me.
Now, on another night, we might not have been focusing too much on the concession of that goal, because on another night, the time that we spent camped in the Hamilton final third, the 21 corners with no end reward, would surely have led to a couple of goals. But last Tuesday, it didn't. So we've spoken about our defensive set pieces. Now, during the course of the action, I think Derek Ray on BT Sport made constant reference to the fact that we're amongst the leaders in the SPFL for goals from attacking set pieces. But it just wasn't happening on Tuesday night, was it, Christy?
No, it wasn't. No, I think Tuesday was, for want of a better phrase, one of those games. It happens sometimes. Just going back to Ash Taylor for a second, one thing that just anecdotally I've noticed with Ash is he doesn't often come on to a good game. Like, how he starts the game sets the tone for his performance a lot of the time. So if he starts off looking a little bit shaky, which we've seen from him, I think he finds it very difficult to settle and regroup. And that's my biggest concern with Ash. He doesn't have that. I hope don't bore anyone with this, but Nick Price, the golfer, used to always say that the worst thing he could do is leave himself a four-footer on the first green, because if he sunk it, he didn't feel any satisfaction, but if he missed it, he knew that his whole round was ruined from there. And I find that to be the case with Ash, if that makes sense. He has a tendency, if he doesn't start the game well, he has a tendency to get rattled and make some really frustrating mistakes and lapses of concentration. But in general, the Hamilton game, what you said, Richard, was bang on, that there's every chance that with a little bit of luck, we wouldn't even be talking about Ash's performance, because we could have played that game 10 times and won it 9 of them.
See, Christy, you say that. I mean, that's someone we usually would refer to, say, a more like creative and attacking player, as being more like, say, a confidence player. It's not someone you would usually associate with a centre half, though, really, is it?
No, it's very odd, and it's just anecdotal. Like, it's just something that I keep an eye out for with Ash, in particular, because for whatever reason, it strikes me that he can have a negative snowball effect, and. Yeah, you're bang on, Martin. Often we would think of that with an attacking player. You know, if they start the game well, particularly a striker. I mean, we've all seen this. If a striker scores early on, you know, they'll go on to have an absolute belter of a game. Maybe get 2 or 3, try some things that they wouldn't ordinarily try because they've got their goal for the game, so they kind of feel like they're free-rolling. But with Ash, yeah, it's kind of the opposite. Frustrates me, to be honest, as a fan.
Well, someone who we've already seen in a short time at Aberdeen could well be a confidence player who will try things that you wouldn't necessarily try at 0-0 when a team are 2 or 3 nil up, is Ryan Christie. And we really needed, in the absence of Johnny Hayes, Ryan Christie to step up to the plate on Tuesday night. Unlike in the game against Motherwell, where he's shown, this wasn't a case of being flat-track bullies. We really needed him to get more involved than he was. Granted, he wasn't alone in an attacking sense, and not making the most of his opportunity. But are you a little bit disappointed, Martin, by what you saw?
Completely. I hate to describe, you know, any player that's wearing an Aberdeen shirt as this, but in that first half, he was a complete waste of a shirt. When we all know how good he can be, you know, we've seen him play for Inverness before, we've seen his brief appearances for us, and he just didn't get into the game at all. When you're missing someone as influential as Johnny Hayes, like you say, Richard, it's 100% correct that someone like Christie, there's an opportunity for him to impress. You know, is he going to come back to Aberdeen after the summer? No, of course he's not. He's going to go to Celtic, and they're going to sell him to some Championship team. He's obviously looking to impress, and that's the type of game where, you know, you got to take your opportunities, and he completely didn't at all.
I mean, he obviously got a nod ahead of Peter Pollitt, for one. He's our own player, Peter. Obviously, we'll speak about him with regards to the Partick game later. But we know that Ryan Christie is a good SPFL level player, Christie. I guess it's just the old thing that he's going to be as inconsistent as, say, Niall McGinn is.
Yep, that's exactly it. I never like to settle, but the reality is when you don't have the budget for, you know, multi-million pound players, you're going to have a wider, a greater sort of level of inconsistency. And he had a poor game, and that'll happen. Overall, his contribution to Aberdeen has been positive. He's, to date, been a good signing. He was far from the worst culprit on Tuesday, because we have players, Rooney, McGinn, etc., who... they're the experienced players. They're the guys that should be leading from the front. Christie, I would like to have seen more from. He had a poor game, but he wasn't the only one. Kenny McLean beside him actually was outstanding, I thought. He was terrific on Tuesday night. But, yeah, didn't work out. C'est la vie.
Yes, McLean is definitely one of the plus points, but my issue with him, Christie, I don't know whether you agree, was that so too much of his good work was being done 35, 40 yards away from goal.
Yeah, he was a bit deeper than normal. That's sometimes, you know, you'll see that where a player is a little bit frustrated. They drop a bit deeper just to try and make things happen. And that was what Kenny McLean did. But it was terrific to see him on the ball so much and really making positive contributions with almost everything he did. I thought he was really terrific on Tuesday. And in fact, for much of this calendar year, I think he's been outstanding.
I think the same could apply, Martin, to all three of the regular midfielders this season. They've all really stepped up in the last couple of months, Jack, McLean and indeed Shinnie, who we'll speak more about later.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, Jack's been a revelation this season. Shinnie is the great player that we've known he was, and, you know, where we're delighted when he signed. And Kenny McLean is, you know, we spoke last season about Kenny McLean, how he sort of wasn't really kind of finding his best position and firing all cylinders, and the three of them have just been fantastic this season, and, you know, it's a testament to how well they've been playing that, you know, we're second in the league.
So here's something I want to bring up, that a lot of people refer to the eventual outcome on Tuesday as being unlucky, obviously we had the majority of the play, the majority of the shots on goal, not necessarily shots on target, but shots at goal, 21 corners to nil, etc., etc., etc. A lot of people said that was, using the broad brush term, unlucky. However, I would suggest that it's unlucky, but only if there's things that you can't control which are thrown into that mix, refereeing decisions being one such term. It's perhaps easier to think of that in terms of card games, for example. If there's already three aces on the table and the fourth ace comes out in a game of poker, then that's a little bit unlucky. That's statistically, it's unlucky. Whereas surely in a game, in a team sport, you can control a lot of these things, Christie. For those that don't know, Christie's got a sports psychology degree. Talk us through how you see luck in a team sport.
Yeah, luck is, it's one of these factors in a team sport that it gets kind of misappropriated. So people can use unlucky as catch-all to deny culpability. Just, oh, it wasn't our day, we were unlucky. And that's sometimes fair, but it also does gloss over the human part of it, the part that we do have control over. And so people can sort of hide behind bad luck. But by the same token, like, we did dominate Hamilton. There's no getting away from that. We were unlucky to the degree that the amount of time that the ball spent in their penalty area with the amount of red shirts in the penalty area, we were... It's a rarity for us to have created so few clear chances. Like, we did not get the break of the ball in the final third, or certainly in the Hamilton penalty area. So it is, on Tuesday, it was an element of both. First of all, Hamilton played well. They did their bit to hinder us, to not let us play. They probably realised that one of the best ways to stop Aberdeen from beating you is to cut down the attacks, get the ball dead as early as possible. Don't let our creative players get on the ball facing the goal and running at you. And I think they handled that pretty well. But by the same token, we were unlucky. We didn't get the break of the ball. We didn't get a little bit of luck in opportunities where our in positions where our superior players could make a difference. And in terms of poker, it's interesting that you mentioned poker. Obviously, the listeners don't know I've got quite a background in poker. In poker, you're playing ranges. You're playing percentages. You can't control exactly the two cards that are in your opponent's hand, but what you can do is make informed decisions based upon his probable range of holdings. Sometimes you're going to run up, you know, you're going to run into the top of his range, so the real best cards that he could possibly be holding. And sometimes you're going to run into the bottom of his range or a wider part of his range, and you know, you beat him. But just because you run into the top of his range sometimes, just because you run into those hands that do happen to beat you, doesn't mean you necessarily played badly or made wrong decisions. You just didn't get that little bit of luck in that specific scenario. And that's what I feel happened with the Dons on Tuesday night. We ran into the top of Hamilton's range. They scored their goal well. They defended well. They did their bits well. Even with all of that considered, you know, it still took a perfect storm for us to get nothing from the game, because with the amount of possession we had in dangerous areas, we were incredibly unlucky to not really create anything of any merit. That doesn't absolve us of guilt, though. Experienced players should have stepped up more. So to sum up that ridiculously long answer, we were a bit unlucky and we were a bit poor.
Well, Martin, my gripe certainly would be the lack of any real clear-cut chance that we carved out. We can talk about the corners all night, and it was a quite farcical outcome at the end, 21-0. But and partly it's because Hamilton, obviously, they had something to hold on to, and they had nine men back at all times. But our failure to deliver any real quality into the box, and our failure to really create anything clear-cut, was disappointing, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, the corners are the most disappointing thing. When you've got 21 corners, which I've never seen in a game before, you're kind of hoping that the delivery of at least, you know, three or four of them is going to be right on the money, but it just didn't seem to happen. And when you've got, you know, someone like McGinn or whoever knocking them in, you know, you're hoping that, you know, that the quality that player has is going to be enough, but it wasn't. I feel a bit being a bit harsh as well, because obviously all those chances as well, you know, when you've got that many men in the box, you know, maybe a bit more composure, and rather than just taking a wild slash at the ball, maybe taking a second on the ball, trying to find some space, or trying to actually pick out a point in the goal rather than just shooting from in anger, might be the solution. That's possibly what's disappointing. On another day, you're going to knock another seven goals in, and that's the thing, though. Chances weren't taken. Big players didn't really get into the game. Usually it's the kind of thing where in past seasons would have allowed that to affect the team, and it would get on top of them. Thankfully, no, I don't think that'll be the case with this current squad, though.
Yes, interesting, obviously, to hear chat about being not one of our days. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of our days last time we went to New Douglas Park either. So yeah. It was a disappointing evening, all told. 1-0 defeat at Hamilton for the second time this season. Lightning does strike twice. One can, frankly, but hope that they get relegated this season. Anyway.
Amen to that.
Moving on Sunday in the Scottish Cup, Partick Thistle came calling. Now, our previous encounters with Partick this season have been relatively entertaining affairs. Partick have played some decent football but had absolutely no end product. Sunday was much the same, except Partick didn't play any decent football, but they did still have absolutely no end product. We kicked off with a 3-5-2 formation. Now, this obviously restricted the attacking impact of Johnny Hayes and Niall McGinn. But equally, stepping up in their place, the combination of Stockley and Pollitt really made things happen for us, Christy.
Yeah, I thought Pollitt was absolutely outstanding. There's something just so positive about him. It's thrilling when he's on form and he gets the ball from deep and just charges towards a goal, because good things happen from there. I thought Stockley played well. Stockley is one of these guys who, when we signed him, he really looked like he was gonna do something great for us in the first few weeks of the season. Really tailed off a bit, couldn't force his way into the team, and now in the last few weeks we're starting to see it. He's for a big unit. He's actually got excellent touch and vision, reasonable movement for a guy of his size. And the two of them, I thought, were terrific. It's great. I know this is. No, well, maybe it's a secret, I don't know, but I know that Derek McInnes believes that, you know, you can't always buy better, but you can buy different when you're working on a tight budget. He's bought different this season, and it's given us good options. It's given us more than one way to win a game, which is something we struggled with last season. I thought if plan A wasn't working, and plan A generally does work, but when it wasn't working, we didn't have too many people stepping up from the bench. But it's great to see the depth we have in our squad this season. And, I'm all for it.
Martin, to you on the formation, it probably wasn't that much of a surprise to us. We discussed it last week with Tom, and we kind of said, yeah, there's a strong case for it. But it certainly seemed to surprise Alan Archibald on the Partick Thistle team, and it really nullified them, didn't it?
To use a phrase, they didn't lay a glove on us at all. I mean, no, it's not something that you think would outfox the manager of a professional football side, but he didn't seem to know what to do. He just sort of went, okay, this Park, I don't think, are this type of side who can just do, well, we'll just play our game. And they didn't really react to us. And instead, they just allowed us to try and play our game, you know, a little bit niggly, we'll know, but you know, it wasn't really, it wasn't anything of too concerning. But yeah, I want to echo what the guys you were saying earlier. Peter Paul, I thought, was excellent. Really a great performance from him. He's obviously taken a great heart in the wonderful words of our former manager, Jimmy Calderwood, and saying that it would be a mistake if we allowed him to leave. He's obviously picked up his performance based on that. So Jimmy can add that to his CV as well. Stockley as well. Stockley really had a good game. And it's good to see, the late season lull, you know, is in the post, so let's hope that it's delayed this season. We're going to need to use the entire squad if we're going to really push on right to the end of the season.
Well, yes, I'm sure the fear about that will kick in quite soon. But the winning goal, two things in particular struck me. Firstly, the ability of Niall McGinn, even though he's playing further back, to get involved in the play and get involved in a more central role. Obviously, he was right wing back for most of the game, but came inside and was able to play a nice little ball into Graham Shinney and a bit of space on the edge of the box and the goal. Are you surprised we haven't seen more of Niall in a central role under Derek McInnes, Christy?
Not really, to be honest. We're well stocked with number 10 type players playing in the hole. And McGinn is, of course, really, really effective out wide. So if we were a little bit thinner squad-wise, then maybe, but even guys like Cammy Smith last season, when called upon, would come in and do that job. And McGinn has been so effective wide that, yeah, I'm not surprised at all to see him being first name on the team sheet and out on the flank.
The other bit of it, Martin, was that another goal from Graham Shinney, his second of the season. Now, I think people get too caught up in the formation we usually play, 4-2-3-1, thinking that the two is actually two defensive midfielders, but it's really not. I mean, it's frequently Ryan Jack as a sort of anchor man, a pivot, and you've got a ball-winning midfielder in there, usually Graham Shinney. Now, obviously, the ball-winning midfielder, when you don't have the ball, is going to sit deep. But when we do have the ball, we need him to be further forward. We need him to be getting more involved in attack and play, don't we?
You're right about the formation thing. It's it would be nice to see him, you know, get a little bit more in among the goals. And I'm sure that's something that will come as his time at Aberdeen goes on. When we've got the ball, maybe he does need to be getting forward. I think there's possibly a thing there as well that because we have guys like Hayes and McGinn and, you know, McLean up there as well, who will be the kind of guys who are going to be getting, you know, more attacking, shall we say, maybe Shinney's told to just not be kind of pushing forward that far. We don't really know, but it's certainly a thing that I think McInnes has probably spoken to Shinney about and would like him to get more in among the goals, because, you know, you can't keep relying on Rooney, etc. Especially if, you know, if Hayes has actually got a hamstring tweak and he may miss some football, so you're going to be calling on, you know, Shinney even more. But he's a phenomenal football player. He's great to have him in our side. And no, he's not just that ball winning. He can be creative as well. And I really don't like getting caught up in the whole should he be at left back and should he be at central midfield kind of thing. But for me, if he never plays left back for us again, I wouldn't care. I want him in the centre of park all the time.
A sentiment that I agree with and don't hear that often. Most Dons fans I speak to just are obsessed with the idea that Shinney is a left back. Like, Shinney's played, I haven't looked up the stats, but what would you say, 75%? At least over 60% of his football at Aberdeen, the centre of midfield. Surely 75%. Yeah. I mean, the guy's a central midfielder. It's just we, the fans, who haven't adapted to that mindset. Like, yeah, he's a central midfielder who sometimes fills in at left back rather than the other way around. I love him in the centre of midfield, and I think it would be a miracle if we were lucky enough to find a better all action midfielder to then stick Shinney to left back. I just can't see it. He's our best option in that position, so
yep.
And it's a more important position, so I would keep him there.
Now, the formation, as we spoke about, did nullify Partick. It restricted him very well, but I mean, they were always going to get one chance, and they got a very big chance, and again it was from a set piece. Beyond careless, Martin, wasn't it, to leave not one but two men spare at the back post?
Yeah, just late in the game, you know, maybe switched off a little bit, which is not what you want to see. Two of them there. Thankfully, you know, Osman had an absolute stinker of a game, and that summed up his afternoon. You know, barely got involved. You know, just got caught up in silly niggles. On another day, no, that's another 90 minutes. If that would have been the replay, that's another 90 minutes we're going to have to put the side through. We don't really need much more games at the moment right now, other than what we've got on our schedule.
Well, what we do have on our schedule is home games against Motherwell and Hearts this month. And that's going to take a heavy toll on the pitch, which is not going to get any better, I don't think, during the course of March. I just wonder if you two can see the manager maybe sticking with the formation that he utilised on Saturday, in order so that we can be a bit more direct, because I think that was the other advantage of having the two up top.
Yeah, I think that's a decent shout out, Jay Richard. I think there's a fair chance of that. I think that Stockley gives us that option, and if Stockley's fit, I mean, he seemed to spend a lot of the time down under some heavy challenges on Sunday, so assuming he shakes that off, I would not be surprised at all if he stays in the team, particularly when we remember just how shugly at the back Motherwell are right now. This would be a very good time to be direct, get the ball on the ball. That said, I mean, using our more traditional 4-2-3-1, we popped 7 past them last time. So, I mean, whichever way you slice it, I trust the manager to have a plan that is going to see us through that game.
Just a quick note on the draw whilst we're here. We will obviously talk about it more in the lead up to the game, but we can't really complain too much, can we, Martin?
I know that there's a lot of people that wanted the blue half of Glasgow. You've got the lowest ranked team as our opponents. I don't think we can really have any problems with that. Hibs, you know, wouldn't it be great to just stick one right up Neil Lennon?
It would, and of course, Neil Lennon has already been beat by Derek McInnes in the Scottish Cup back in February 2014. So that will be ahead in April, a third visit to Hampden this season. If we were to make the final four trips, we've never actually played at Hampden four times in one season, fact fans. So Saturday coming, Motherwell at home. It ain't going to be 7-2 again. It probably won't even be 7-0. They are a changed side since we last played them. They've obviously let go Mark McGee. And they'll be desperate to avoid a repeat. I don't know about you, Christy, but I can see a dreadful shitfest of a 1-0.
I'll go with 7-2 again.
Looking at the personnel, obviously we might be without Reynolds and Jack still, but one of their main guys, Louis Molt, is going to be out, Martin. Scott McDonald, who missed the 7-2 game, will be back for them, but they're just not going to fold like they did last time, are they?
That'll be the one thing that's been drilled into them. I know it's very rare that you're back at a ground so soon after taking a huge hiding like they did. McDonald obviously being back will be big for them because he's one of their more influential players on the pitch. Dare I say, had he been on the pitch that day, he might have been the kind of guy who would be able to take him by the scruff of the neck, because I think the rest of the players probably have a bit of respect for him. For as much as Molt was fairly completely anonymous the last time we played, you know, he's a big miss for them. You know, they'll try and keep it tight. I'm sure that they'll obviously be very careful not to give anything too much away, but while it won't be seven, I think we'll surely have enough for them. I just know we'd obviously want to extend a huge rest in peace to Mark McGee's top level management career now on this podcast as well.
Not one of the favourites for the Kilmarnock
job. In line for the Kilmarnock job, remarkably.
Well, I mean, well, therefore, definitely rest in peace to his top level management career then. Jesus, yes. Kilmarnock.
Frankly, it's such a win-win situation at the bottom of the league at the moment. There's so many teams that I just want to get rid of from this division. Kilmarnock, chief amongst them, I have to say. But yes, Mark McGee might be back in charge of Kilmarnock, which would mean Lee McCulloch not getting gainful employment. So, you know, there are bright sides to everything.
Who would you rather... who would be the nicer guy to get that gig? Oh, my goodness. Actually, in all seriousness, everyone I know who... knows him says that Lee McCulloch is the sweetest guy in the world away from football, so you never know. I've never heard that said of Mark McGee, put it that way.
Well, moving on, win on Saturday, obviously the Rangers are at Parkhead on the what I presume is the Sunday. It should hopefully re-establish a 9-point lead. The hiccup at Hamilton aside, are both of you still pretty confident we'll finish second?
Yeah, I would say we're a favourite to finish second. I think I'm less confident than I should be with this kind of lead, because in any sport we all kind of suffer from the status quo bias, where we feel that the status quo will continue forever. So when Rangers are on their bad run of form, you know, you just can't see where their next win will come from. Right up until they do win 6-0, and then it's just as easy for them to put a decent run together. And for us, in good form, it's like, you know, we'll just keep on winning and we kind of take it for granted. But of course, it's very easy to have a little blip like we did around just before Christmas. It happens. So I'm a bit less confident than 6 points should ordinarily lead me to be, but I still think we're a decent favourite to finish second.
Well, the current odds make us clear favourites. We're generally 1-4 on, and you can get the Rangers at 11-4. And remarkably, some bootmakers are still quoting Hearts to finish second, which is preposterous. Anyway, so that's this weekend. Motherwell, again, it won't be 7-2. I think we can safely say that, despite Christie's best wishes. And
take the 1-0, I would happily take the 1-0.
And we'll see what transpires. We'll have live minute-by-minute coverage of that over on our website during the course of Saturday afternoon. So, my thanks to Martin Clunas. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you very much, Richard.
And to Christy Keenan. Thanks, Christy.
Thanks, James.
This has been the By the Minute Aberdeen podcast. Thanks for listening. Good night.